riding down old 2 Mile Hill. Tennis shoes up on the handlebars, paying no mind to the passing cars. No doubts, no fears, just like when you are here. No chains, no strings, no fences, no walls, no net, just you to catch me when I fall. Look hard, no hands. Took a little time to get up to speed, to find the confidence and the strength I'd need, to just let go and reach for the sky. You know, sometimes it felt...
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Texas Democrats are facing a deadline in less than 3 hours to return to the state capitol or face being removed. Texas Governor Greg Abbott setting that deadline after state Democrats walked out Sunday of a special session, breaking quorum ahead of a vote on redrawing congressional maps that would give the GOP 5 new seats. ABC's Maria Villarreal says some Democrats have left the state in protest, calling it gerrymandering.
I have spoken with one of the reps that is in Chicago, one that is in New York, and one that is actually here in Austin. And basically, all of them are aligned in their messaging. We are here to make sure we send a clear message that we are doing this for the people of Texas, and we will stay out as long as we have to make sure that happens.
New global tariffs set by President Trump go into effect later this week. Some businesses, including Walmart, Best Buy, and Dollar General, signaling that they may have to raise prices for consumers in the coming months. And on Wall Street, stocks are up this hour. This is ABC News. In rural Montana, officials are still on the hunt for a suspect accused of killing 3 bar patrons and a bartender inside a bar in the town of Anaconda. Police say the gunman then fled and stole a vehicle. ABC's Trevor Ault has details.
Hundreds of federal and local officials converging on the mountains in search of Army veteran Michael Paul Brown, who they say is armed and extremely dangerous. Authorities say 45-year-old Brown lives next door to the Owl Bar in the small town of Anaconda. They say Friday morning around 10:30, he walked in and shot 3 patrons and a bartender.
Authorities are offering a $7,500 reward for information leading to the suspect's arrest. Off the waters of Yemen, a boat capsized, killing 68 African migrants, and the UN Migration Agency says 74 others are still missing. It's the latest migrant boat tragedy in the region. Hundreds of migrants have died or gone missing in shipwrecks in the past few months there. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with the Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ehlen. Much of Wisconsin is under an air quality alert until noon today. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says it's caused by another thick plume of wildfire smoke coming down from Canada. In addition to the poor air quality, the smoke is leading to lowered visibility, especially around eastern Wisconsin. Milwaukee had the worst air quality in the entire U.S. Sunday, with Green Bay also landing in the top 5. Those with respiratory and heart-related issues, young children, and elderly adults are advised to restrict activities today. A town of Fond du Lac man is jailed following a nearly 7-hour standoff in an arson incident.
Fond du Lac County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to a home just before 3 o'clock Friday morning. Surveillance video showed a man use an accelerant to set a fire to the exterior of their home. The fire burned itself out before deputies arrived. The suspect was identified as a neighbor of a nearby home where he barricaded himself in the basement. After an armored vehicle ram punched a hole into the building, the 32-year-old man surrendered Friday afternoon. After an armored vehicle ram punched a hole into the building, he's in the Fond du Lac County Jail on numerous felony charges. Terry Kovarik, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A bill circulating at the Capitol could restore funding for a program that assists homeless Wisconsin veterans.
The Department of Veterans Affairs operates the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program at sites in Union Grove, Chippewa Falls, and Green Bay, with the latter two slated to close next month.
We need the $1.9 million for the two facilities that are threatened to be closed.
Eau Claire area Democrat Jeff Smith is the bill's state Senate author and says it's up to Republican leaders whether the facilities survive.
They've done it before with other things that they care about. Hopefully they care enough about this one too.
The needed funding didn't make it into the state budget. Lawmakers could return to the Capitol for a floor period next month. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The drive-thru window is now open at J.M. Watkins Meats, serving hot coffee Monday through Friday from 5:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and Saturdays from 7:30 to 2. J.M. Watkins Meats has an online store where you can order all of your favorite cuts of beef, pork, and lamb from local farmers for that Labor Day holiday get-together. Order for in-store pickup or order in advance and pick up at the drive-thru. Visit jmwatkinsmeats.com or visit them in person, 3 miles west of Plum City on Highway 10.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Wildfire smoke still lingers, creating a hazy sunshine today with dry conditions. High temperatures scrape the low 80s. Winds are barely moving out of the north, and tonight we'll see a few clouds filtering in. Overnight lows drop to about 60. Tomorrow, we stay sunny and highs still hit the low 80s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
It's the Midwest, but that's probably going to come to an end. We'll get the forecast. We'll also discuss trade, market signals, crop size, and a whole lot more. And it is Monday morning. That means it's time for a conversation about what's happening in the used equipment markets.
Live, crack of the bat, and the Royals keep on winning via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Greg Peterson. That's Machinery Pete. Then it's Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. And directly following the news, Brett Waltz from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. You know, when you only win half the time, I can see why you'd be excited to take two of three from the Eastern Division leader.
Exactly.
That's good. That's
half
good.
Half the time. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Half the time. That's right. That's
well,
right.
I had to say something because, beloved listener, if you, I don't know if you caught this on Friday morning, and I kind of let it go. But we were closing up the show, and one of the last things that Haney said, the Alberta Breeze himself, was, hey, the Royals got the Blue Jays this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He was looking forward to that.
Yeah, he was.
Didn't go as he anticipated. You know, but hey, the Royals did the same things to the Cubs. We can't say anything about that.
Well,
but the good news is, the Cubbies are still 19 games over 500.
Well, you see, there you go.
But the Brewers, I think the total is they've won 19 out of their last 22 games.
Wow.
You can't keep up with that.
They got to be happy about that over at WRDN. Hello.
That's right. That's right. Man, oh, man, it's tough to keep up with a team that is winning like that. No doubt. No doubt. Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Monday morning. 70. It is just 70 degrees up here in Northeast Iowa, and the humidity is low. It's beautiful up here. It sounds like it's going to change by the end of the week, though.
Yeah, I think maybe. We're 73, but, man, we got down into the low 60s overnight. And
just oh, it feels great.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Windows open, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The windows are open right now.
Yeah.
Trying to, keeping it going. All right, let's go ahead and get to the news. What do you got?
Sure thing. According to the National Weather Service, wildfire smoke continues to result in poor air quality from the upper Midwest into the Northeast.
Dangerous heat and fire weather concerns for portions of the Four Corners region into the central Great Basin and Rockies. Heavy rainfall and flash flooding possible for the southeast through today. Strong to severe thunderstorms for the southern plains with severe wind gusts are still possible on that wildfire smoke. We can smell it outside, bro. The moon looked a little bit weird last night. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a thing.
Oh, yeah, all over. All over. It is a significant impact. Got a round of showers that went from north to south through eastern Kansas this morning, and there's still some showers in eastern Nebraska, western Iowa here this morning.
Well, chip corn, soybeans, and winter wheat futures were higher just after the open, with spring wheat futures under light pressure. Fats and feeder cattle futures shot higher, with lean hogs mildly higher. The Dow, S&P, and the Triple Q were all higher to start the week. I haven't looked in like 10 minutes, Chip. Are we holding on?
Yeah, not really. Corn is starting to drift to the downside. Soybean meal, and even bean oil is working to the upside. Wheat is slightly mixed. The lean hog market is trading higher, and boy, look at them go. Look at them go. The cattle are just cruising along to the upside.
Well, and this may have something to do with it. USDA Friday reported active cash cattle trading, with steers averaging 242.69, heifers at 242.07, both levels well above the average price from the week before.
Yep. Well, you'll be happy to know that I'm booking my beef. And
attaboy.
Who knows? I might be able to buy the high this year. We'll see. I avoided it last year.
I'm pulling for you, brother.
Thank
Crude
you.
Oil futures were weaker overnight after OPEC Plus decided to raise its collective output. OPEC confirmed a widely expected production increase of 547,000 barrels per day beginning in September. Not a big surprise there.
No, not at all.
USDA Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden? There's too many new names.
Vaden. Yeah.
Argued dramatically last week for closing USDA buildings and moving staff out of the National Capital Region. Vaden told ag senators that Secretary Brooke Rollins is planning to move just 2.5% of USDA's staff, or 2,600 people, to five hubs outside the D.C. area, where 90% already work. As for the buildings, Vaden noted, quote, USDA has a total of 4,754 facilities at which its employees report to work every day. The secretary's proposal calls for closing exactly four of those places of employment. Vaden argued none of USDA's owned or leased buildings in the D.C. area met the 60% occupancy rate Congress required this year in the USIT Act.
And Rollins is out this morning saying, listen, the plans are almost complete. Get on board.
Yeah.
Get on board.
Reports say China will hold its major economic policy meeting in October, likely focusing on the next five-year plan. That, according to China's Xinhua News. The announcement follows a recent Politburo meeting where leaders pledged to address mounting economic risks. And finally, Chip here, President Trump late Friday fired the head of the agency that produces the monthly jobs figures after the Friday morning jobs report showed hiring slowed in July and was much weaker in May and June than previously reported. Trump on social media alleged the jobs figures were manipulated for political reasons and said that the director of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who was appointed by former President Joe Biden, ought to be fired. Chip?
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about how the numbers seemed weird during the Biden administration.
Yep.
And so maybe something needed to be done there. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Brett Waltz, BamWX.com. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Chip.
All right. Beautiful morning up here right now, but it looks like that's going to be coming to an end.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a taste of fall almost, didn't we, this past weekend and to start out this week. But slowly but surely, it will get warmer, back to normal summer weather as we go through the middle part of this week, and then above normal by Thursday, Friday. Not going to be extreme heat or record-breaking in most cases, but temps back up into the upper 80s, 90s, and higher humidity for the Midwest, and upper 90s and 100s down across the South and West Plains will return late this week and into the weekend.
Okay. Nighttime temperatures, what is that?
Sure.
What's the outlook there?
Yeah, that really continues to be the driving factor for the temperature anomalies. You know, if you see those maps that show 5, 10 degrees warmer than normal, it's the overnight lows that will be more like 8 to 12 degrees warmer into the low 70s. for the Midwest, Central Plains, and into the Ohio Valley as we go through the end of this week and into this weekend.
Okay. Does this open the door for any rain?
It should, yeah. You know, I think that across the upper Midwest, let's say from the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, parts of Iowa, and into Wisconsin, there should be some decent rain opportunities later this week. There's even some in the short term with the severe weather threats across the western plains over the next couple of days. But I think that the further south and east you go, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, not as widespread, more sporadic with the moisture there, at least for the next 7 days.
All right, real quick, I saw in your note that the tropical storm systems are ramping up, huh?
Yeah, finally. You know, it's been quiet so far, but I think we're finally getting into a pattern that's going to be more favorable for that. Keep an eye out by the end of next week for some kind of mischief working into the Caribbean that we'll need to keep an eye on.
Gotcha, Brett. It's always a good update. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. All right, coming up next, we've got a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, here on AgriTalk.
Hear that? Those are Pioneer brand soybean and corn fields, the number one seed brand in the U.S., ready to harvest. The combine reaps and separates row after row of innovative genetics. Soybeans fall into bins and bounce off the tin with unbeatable yields. Pioneer corn and soybean seed is the number one brand in the U.S. This is what it sounds like to plant number one. Learn more at pioneer.com/topcrop.
At Estes Performance Concaves, we know how valuable your time is at harvest. That's why we designed the new XPR Concave System. The XPR system is the number one performance concave system on the market, surpassing the rest in both speed and efficiency, ensuring every last grain from your field gets into your tank. Plus, XPR concaves work for all row crops. No more changing concaves, meaning you have less downtime. Take back your bushels this harvest. Get Estes Performance Concaves in your combine today.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. Purple Wave Auction has partnered with Tri-Green Equipment to bring you exceptional ag machinery at their August 20th auction. This partnership means quality John Deere equipment you can trust, all selling at absolute no reserve prices. Need tractors, implements, or harvest equipment? Purple Wave's transparent process lets you connect directly with sellers before you bid. It's the perfect partnership. Tri-Green's premier equipment and Purple Wave's nationwide reach. Don't miss these Tri-Green assets on August 20th. Visit purplewave.com today. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
Maximize your equipment potential with the ultimate upgrade from Titan and Goodyear Farm Tires. Titan's LSW technology is a simple bolt-on solution that provides track-like performance in a super single tire without the headache of track systems. American-made LSW tires improve fuel economy, traction in the field, all while reducing soil compaction and power hop. Visit Titan-intl.com to chat with real tire experts about how Titan and Goodyear Farm Tires are your ultimate upgrade for your best performance in the field.
There's danger out there.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.55% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us on this Monday morning, and that means that it is time for a conversation with Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson. Hey, buddy, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good, Chip. How are you?
Doing real fine, real fine. Busy week last week. It might be tough to figure out what that pick of the week will be. What is it?
Yeah, well, it's coming from a sale I covered last Tuesday. We filmed it for the TV show. We were down in Mount Sterling, Illinois. My friends Alex and Gina Kerr had their consignment sale, and it was an interesting sale. I think to me, Chip, it kind of encapsulated the current reality in the used farm equipment market. Okay. Because it had different things going. I mean, there was a very nice farmer retirement line, not big dollar stuff, just nice. That was Todd Cook. We interviewed Todd for the TV show. And it was unusual. He had a pair of beautiful 4440 John Deere tractors. I don't usually see two of them. So a little setup here. Todd's dad, his late father, and his uncle had purchased one of the 4440s. Had 9,883 hours, one owner in the family. Very nice for those hours. That tractor wound up going for 25.5, which pushing 10,000 hours. Very, very solid. Maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, maybe it would hit 27 or whatever, but 25.5 is pretty good there. Okay. But the other one is my pick of the week. That one only had 3,663 hours on it. And so, of course, anytime you see a tractor of that early 80s vintage with those hours, it's like, oh, what's the story? And Todd told me his uncle farmed with his dad, and they loved their 4440. Okay. And Todd's uncle literally won the lottery. I don't know how big of a lottery. I'm a Minnesota boy, so I don't pry. I didn't ask. I met his uncle. I didn't ask him how big the lottery was. But now you win the lottery, it's like, oh, I'm going on a trip. I'm going to buy a Camaro. Nope, not Todd's uncle. He wanted to buy another 4440. Liked it so much. So he found a low hour one, bought it, and again, it sold on the sale Tuesday, 3,663 hours. Went for $40,000. Very, very solid. Todd told me he was hoping for 35. Alex Kerr, great auctioneer, he was hoping high 30s. So he brought 40K. I'll get a YouTube out on that. You can watch that. But, so the older stuff in good condition, like we've been talking about, selling, holding very solid like that. And they also had an older Versatile 976. That brought 22.5, very solid. They had a kind of an antique tractor, a John Deere 630 that brought 5,500, did fine. But it was a consignment sale, and there was also a number of late model items that have come up from dealers south of Illinois. And there were some good buys there, I thought. I've always thought middle, late summer is a great time to be a buyer because we don't know how the yields are going to be. It's like, how's that tassel wrap going to affect, all these variables. Mm-hmm. But they had a 23-mile John Deere 8R370, 739 hours. That went for $333.5, which, it's big money. The average coming in on a 23-model 8R370 was $340, so it got up close. There was a 24-model 8R410. Now, it was not equipped like most guys would want it up here in the Midwest, so that did hurt it a little bit. But I think it had, I don't know if that's 750, 800 hours, something like that. It brought 280, which, again, wasn't equipped quite right. But, again, so the 1-, 2-, 3-, 4-year-old stuff in grain country, these high-horse tractors, there's, some pretty good buys there, while the older stuff is still selling well. So that's what I saw Tuesday. Now, I got to ask you a question, Chip, because on my way home Tuesday, I stopped. I'm coming up Highway 63 there, and I stop in Denver, Iowa. Gas up the machinery.
I know the pickup.
I think we met there once.
Yes, we did.
And a guy hopped out of his truck. His name was Bruce. I apologize, Bruce. I can't remember your last name, but we had a great conversation. Bruce said, "Pete, I love the show." We talked and talked. And anyway, I asked him what's happening around Denver, and he said, "Hey, we got our celebration next month," which I believe he said was Breakaway Days.
Yep, in Denver August? Breakaway Days. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Now, Bruce was telling me there's a frog jumping contest. And that could be some good stuff for Machine Repeat YouTube. I might have to drive south from Rochester to capture that sometime. But he said there's a tractor parade as well. So a shout out to good folks in Denver. I always like stopping there.
You bet. I bet I can get some video of that for you. Awesome. Awesome. Well, you're welcome anytime. You are welcome anytime. The people of Denver will open their arms wide to you. You've got a couple of other friends there. Romaine Schwier.
Yeah, romaine. When I had just started doing a YouTube video, this was back, it was right before Christmas 2010. I'd been at it a year, and I didn't even have a machinery P truck then. I just stopped at that Quick Star in Denver, and a guy came out and he goes, "Are you machinery P?" And I was like, "Hey, yeah, you bet." And that was Romaine Schwier, and we stayed connected since. And of course, Romaine has great, great tractor collection equipment, super sharp guy. So when I stopped to gas up in Denver, good things happen.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, including running into me one night when I was out coon hunting.
Yeah,
that's right. Back in there.
You were in front of me in the line. I'm like, hey, I know that guy. Wait a second. Yeah, all good.
Oh, that's fun. There were some other auctions in Iowa that you've got some reports on, huh?
Yeah, last Tuesday, same day I was down in Mount Sterling, Zomer Company and Realty had their consignment sale, which pulls equipment from northwest Iowa, southeast South Dakota, and southwest Minnesota. Great team out there. They had a 2013 model John Deere 8360R, 5,750 hours, not pre-def, but close, and that brought 115. Really sharp 79 model John Deere 4640, just a little over 7,800 hours. That did 28.5. Yeah, then a one-owner 12-model Brent 657 Gravity Wagon. I think that did 15.5. So, yeah, that was a good sale there. That was Tuesday. Also Tuesday, just up to the north in Minneota, Minnesota, southwest part of the state, Deutz Auctioneers, great company. They had a little farm sale. 95-model John Deere, 8,400, 6,147 hours, did 75,000. That's pretty good, over 6,000 hours. 96 model John Deere 7800 mechanical front, 6,618 hours, went for 53. And then kind of an interesting older combine, an 07 John Deere 9760 STS, 3,167 engine hours, did 50. So another good sale by Deutz Auctioneers up there.
That seems like kind of a hefty price on that combine.
Well, pre-def, if they're nice, 07, 08, 9, 10, 11 models we've been seeing. I think last week we talked about the out of Highmore, South Dakota, a couple of John Deere Walkers, a 9660 that went for like 79.2 mint condition. So, yeah, the pre-def combines, again, there's pressure in grain country. You know, the 1, 2, 3, 4-year-old ones, there's just some good buys there. But the nice older ones, it's competitive bidding, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see last week that EPA kind of laid the groundwork to get to a post-def period?
I was on the road. I need to be filled in on these details.
Yeah, wow. It's called the endangerment finding. They have proposed rescinding the endangerment finding, and that's the base of all the tailpipe emissions, DEF, all of that. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward now.
Interesting might be the understatement of the century there. that'll be fascinating because on the buyer side, the demand, and now if manufacturers have been unshackled, who's going to jump in and be aggressive first and at what price point? Because our data just keeps shouting that the good condition pre-def stuff is what people want.
Right, right. Yep. So, we're going to keep track of that for you, no question about it. Iron have an auction last week?
They did. Every Wednesday, they had 1,100 pieces plus last Wednesday. A couple highlights, 2019 Case Edge Steiger 580. That was out of Nebraska, 4,556 hours. That went for 170 and a quarter. Another nice 4640, 81 model out of Kansas, went for 27 and a quarter. So saw a couple brushing up against 30 last week. And, also a 78 white 2155 from Nebraska that looked pretty spiffy. I can't recall the hours on it, but it brought 9,500. So the way it looked, not too bad of a buy there, I thought.
All right. Very good. 20 seconds. Where are you going this week?
Well, Monday, August 11th, that's my next one. We'll be out in Bronson, Iowa, filming for Brock Auction, a really nice farm sale with the nicest line of versatile tractors on one farm auction I've ever seen. There's four of them. Come join us in Bronson, Iowa, Monday, August 11th. That's going to be fun.
That sounds like that's going to be a really cool event. All right, Greg. Hey, thank you so much, buddy. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great. Have a good week, Chip.
Fantastic. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Don't go away. Davis and I will be right back with more AgriTalk.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. Purple Wave Auction has partnered with Tri-Green Equipment to bring you exceptional ag machinery at their August 20th auction. This partnership means quality John Deere equipment you can trust, all selling at absolute no reserve prices. Need tractors, implements, or harvest equipment? Purple Wave's transparent process lets you connect directly with sellers before you bid. It's the perfect partnership. Tri-Green's premier equipment and Purple Wave's nationwide reach. Don't miss these Tri-Green assets on August 20th. Visit purplewave.com today. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
Farmers and ranchers, RCIS is here for you. We're here with responsive claim service, so you can rest easy no matter what comes your way. Here with local agents who understand your operation. And here with coverage options to support you through increased input costs and market prices. Talk to your agent about your risk management plan or visit RCIS.com. At RCIS, we're here when it matters most. RCIS is an equal opportunity provider. Coverage is underwritten by Rural Community Insurance Company.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready? Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Amplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day in-person or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, September milk up 41 to 1815, October up 33 to 1846, November up 27 to 1850, December up 24 at 1835. Live cattle markets are mixed. Feeder cattle also are mixed. While the demand does remain strong, traders are still aware of the elevated positions, and so they are doing some consolidation today. Box beef prices were mixed. Hog markets are moving higher as continued strong pork demand appears to be helping traders challenge markets' resistance levels, but that demand's going to have to be sticking around. August live cattle up 55 cents to 230.67. August feeder cattle down 7 cents to 334.50. August hogs up 65 cents to 108. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets are lower. Soybeans and wheat are mostly higher. Corn mostly lower due to the positive weather. Really not a lot of adverse weather in the forecast to affect corn. And exports, they were up over a half million from the week prior, but not enough to help the markets. Soybeans higher as the extended forecast for late August calls for more warmer and hot conditions that could adversely affect beans. Wheat markets mostly higher. A little bit of short covering happening in the wheat markets today. New crop corn down 2 3/4 to 408. New crop beans up 5 3/4 to 995. September wheat steady at 5.16 3/4.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Yeah, that's going to be quite the event up there in Rochester on August 21. Farm Journal Yield Academy. And I'm glad we just ran that promo because look at that. this guy that we've got on next is going to be up there in Rochester for the Farm Journal Yield Academy. Dan Bossy, President, Ag Resource Company. Dan, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good, Chip, and I'm looking forward to being up there. That's always a fun event, and I hope everybody comes, because the information that's passed along is just something you can't replace.
Yeah, yep. It's going to be really, really cool up there, and of course, Crop Tour is wrapping up that night well there in Rochester. So, Dan, you know, I want to start with this, because I think everybody – When people heard that you were going to be on this morning, I've been getting some messages. They just want to know, okay, what is this market telling you right now? What's the signal?
Well, I think the signal is that we've got big crops in the field. Today, the market's rallying in soybeans because they're expecting StoneX to come out with an estimate later today to be somewhat disappointing, maybe under 53 bushels an acre, while the corn number could be big. So there's a lot of positioning today for the private numbers that are coming out in coming days. And I think that's key. We've got S&P Global coming out on Tuesday. A lot of others will announce. And so we're positioning on a lack of news heading into next week's USDA crop report.
Yeah, that's really the thing. You know, there's a lot of expectations in this market right now. Why would you be expecting a disappointing soybean number? Crop looks pretty good to me.
Oh, I think it does. But, you know, the ratings came up last week. It's not up to where some would like to see it, maybe in populations, though we knew get branching in soybeans. But as you go across the Delta, I think people are a little disappointed down there in terms of where we're at. So that's where I keep getting feedback on what's going on.
Yeah, they've started the harvest down there, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. It's going to gain speed. And early yields are so-so, but coming along on corn, I think the corn yields are spiffing up a little bit from where they were late last week.
Right. Gotcha. When are you going out on the road to take a look at the crops?
We try to think ahead of you, Chip. So we're heading out right after the USDA number that comes out on the 13th. So we'll be out 13th, 14th, and 15th just in Illinois and Iowa, just trying to get an expectation of what you'll find the week after.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Hey, well, give me a heads up. You know, I'm going to be looking forward to that so that we know what to expect when we get out there. The corn crop and the estimates, Dan, it's when you look at social media and some of the posts out there on social media, you think to yourself, my gosh, 20% of this corn crop east of the Mississippi River didn't pollinate like it was supposed to. This could be something significant. But then the market certainly isn't indicating, it's not telling us that there's a problem, is there?
No, I think some of us who have been out and looking at things are seeing that, yes, there are some pollination problems. Are they meaningful? Well, maybe to the point of like a half bushel or a bushel an acre. But I don't think that's a big deal because we don't know where the starting point is, Chip. I mean, you know, is that number 186, the 188, a 184? I think those are all kind of in the vernacular today. If we have a good finish, maybe slightly higher, but that's enough, not enough to move the needle.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Let's move on to the demand issues. Boy, this corn demand, old crop has been good up until, well, it's still good. I'm not going to discount the old crop corn demand, but new crop demand, the bookings that we've had here recently, Dan, man, oh man, it's awfully impressive, and the market has been hesitant to respond. Why?
Well, I think the market knows that we're still trying to digest how big is big in terms of the crop. And it's been a buyer, mainly Mexico, along with South Korea, that has taken, if we look old and new crop and combine them together, we think we're about 635 million bushels of new crop sales. Okay. And so that's the second largest in the last decade. So the corn offtake has been relatively good. Whether or not it'll continue is the question. Brazilian lineup for loading out corn is now up to 7.5 million metric tons. So there is a big program out of Brazil, and we're fearful that that's going to cut into U.S. demand as we think forward to October, November, December.
Okay. Bean demand on the new crop in particular is boy, talk about a failure to get started. That's way behind, isn't it?
Well, we need China. I mean, that's the problem. And as an analyst, I'm concerned. Like this morning, China's now still buying late October, November soybeans. They should not be doing that. And as I look at what China's bought out of the Brazilian market, we think it's somewhere between 6 and 6.5 million metric tons for October. That means that they're planning on a much smaller U.S. export program. And that's the concern I think the bean market really has in the back of its mind.
Well, this trade tiff between President Trump and the Brazilian government, Brazilian leadership in particular, it's got to be causing some issues, isn't it?
It does, and I think it's forcing China to be a more active buyer of Brazilian soybeans. And we're wondering if that Brazilian soybean crop isn't 169, but it's maybe 172 or 173. And so with that in mind, if the Chinese continue to buy Argentinian and Brazilian beans, we just end up with a smaller offtake. And so my export number on soybeans is down to 1.5 billion bushels. Based on that demand. And so that means that USDA still has some downside in terms of its annual total going forward.
Okay. Yeah, it just seems to me like China is picking sides. And clearly they are picking sides with Brazil and Argentina over the U.S. when it comes to ag trade. Yes, no?
Oh, and there's corn. The Chinese have bought some Brazilian corn. There's five vessels in the lineup that's Chinese nominated. There's others that to be announced, but we think the Chinese have also bought in Brazilian corn. So they're just focusing all of their efforts down there until Trump and Xi may meet in, late October, November at the APEC meeting in South Korea.
Gotcha. Okay. We'll need to keep track of that. Other trade issues. The European Union has decided to delay tariffs on U.S. products for the next 6 months to continue the conversation. Dan, I thought we had a deal with the EU last week.
Well, you're seeing this morning, Chip, that whether it's the Japanese or the EU or a lot of these countries, nothing's written down yet. I mean, Japan's complaining, let's put ink to paper, and that's not happened yet. And so there's a lot of work to do on these trade issues. If you go back to the UK, which is probably the furthest along, they signed a trade deal or did a trade deal on May 8th, and we're still working through the details of that. So there's a lot of work yet to be done deciding what's going where and what tariff and how's it all falling together in terms of non-tariff barriers. And those days are ahead of us. We have some trade deals, but we don't know anything specific for agriculture other than that Bangladesh business that was about a million metric tons of U.S. wheat.
Yep, gotcha. Okay, talk to me about the fertilizer trade right now. There's a lot of concern about fertilizer prices going into that 2026 crop. NCGA even penned a letter and said, listen, we got to do something about this. What's your outlook?
Yeah, I agree. I think as you look at dry applications of fertilizer this fall, people are going to have some heartburn looking at prices. I mean, whether it's phosphate or nitrogen or even potash, everything seems to be going up. And it's probably going to shift some acreage around. We are thinking that, corn acreage for 2026 will be down 4 to 5 million acres as farmers pivot and maybe plant crops that need less fertilization like wheat and soybeans. So haven't changed total acreage yet, but this is a developing problem as we think forward to 2026 production.
Yes, certainly is. Do you have a take on EPA's proposal to rescind the endangerment finding?
I think it could be important, Chip, but I don't have a take. At this point, it's kind of like these trade deals. It's a work in progress. We are still, digesting. We thought that U.S. Biofuels were part of the homegrown energy solution. And then we have these curveballs thrown at us in terms of what is the big picture, and we're not sure anymore. So I wish I could give you some granularity on it, but I can't. I can only watch from afar at the moment without much substance and saying it's concerning.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I mean, I'm digging. That's looking at every place that we can, trying to pick up some perspective on this and what it might mean. The wheat trade. I told Lane I was going to ask you about wheat. The theme has gotten consistent on wheat, Dan, that wheat is just undervalued. Is that your take?
My problem on wheat is that world wheat trade for the first month of the new crop year is down 2 million metric tons, 2.2 to be exact, and it's kind of like off 17%. Remember that USDA projected that we would have world wheat trade up 15 million metric tons or nearly 4%. And so when I look at what's going on in the world market, world wheat trade is disappointing. And I think that's what the wheat market is telling us, that, yeah, the Russians may have a problem. Yeah, there may be some issues across the Baltics with too much rain and quality issues. But at the end of the day, if I don't have world wheat trade, the wheat market's not going to pay attention. And I guess that's what we're seeing here today. Russian prices are retreating. We're about 238, 239 a ton here this morning for 12.5% pro. But a lot of that Russian wheat is very buggy, Chip. Bug levels are coming in at 9%, and that's not going to do anything but make it the feed wheat because millers won't take it.
That is exactly right. Who's got the biggest crop problem right now, Russia or Canada in the prairies?
I think the Russians really have the big problem in terms of quality. The Canadians may have it on quantity, but to me, because Russian farmers didn't want to spend money on pesticides, they're back to this bug problem that we'll see as we get into the black soils area, whether or not it improves. So far, it hasn't changed much, and so I'm worried about buggy wheat in Russia.
Dan, thank you so much, man. We covered a lot of ground right there. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, Dan, have a good Monday, Chip. Be safe, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right, Dan Bossie, Ag Resource Company. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with a brand new named organization. When the game
is on. Okay, raise your hand if you want to make your life a little bit easier. Great. Now raise your other hand if you like to be comfortable. Perfect. Now that you have both hands raised, imagine putting on your shoes. And that, folks, right there is your answer to an easier, more comfortable life. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. This is footwear you don't need your hands to put on. They can be raised in the air, and you can just step it and go. Why don't you experience what people can't stop talking about? Life-changing Skechers Slip-ins. Get your Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions, like your really expensive limited edition sneakers and your new suit for your cousin's wedding. Except you never actually bought the suit because you can't stop buying sneakers. So you show up to the wedding looking like you're going grocery shopping. But hey, at least your sneakers will look good in the pictures. Until you're cropped out of every last one of them. So go ahead and get Progressive so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Tired of hearing scary radio ads about the IRS? Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000 or $500,000, we have a solution. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS with zero risk to you. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with a BBB. End your tax nightmare today by visiting TRA.com. Or call 800-275-1242. That's 800-275-1242.
Brand Soybean and Cornfields, the number one seed brand in the U.S., ready to harvest. The Combine reaps and separates row after row of innovative genetics. Soybeans fall into bins and bounce off the tin with unbeatable yields. Pioneer Corn and Soybean Seed is the number one brand in the U.S. This is what it sounds like to plant number one. Learn more at pioneer.com/topcrop.
At Hexagon, we are experts behind the world's most precise machines, from race cars and jets to tractors, sprayers, and combines. In the field, our technology provides farm equipment with sub-inch precision. Pass after pass, field after field, year after year. Anywhere you farm, anytime you need. We are guiding your equipment and maximizing your potential. Keep up with the agriculture evolution by trusting Hexagon in your fields. This is how Hexagon is empowering agriculture. See how at hexagon.com.
The Dirt with me, Mike Howell, an economics podcast where I present the down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Inspired by economics.com, farming's go-to informational resource, I'm here to break down the latest crop nutrition research, news, and issues, helping farmers make better business decisions through actionable insights. Let's dig in.
As we step into the heart of the U.S. growing season, brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Hey.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust.
Welcome back to AgriTalk.
Now for Justin Timberlake.
Not on AgriTalk.
It's for the ladies.
Well done. Well done. I got a surprise for you, Davis.
You do?
Yes, because at the start of the show, we didn't know if we were going to be able to make this happen or not. But was nice enough to make it happen for us. Ryan LeGrand, president and CEO of what used to be the U.S. Grains Council, is now the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council. Ryan, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. I'm very glad we were able to make this happen.
I am, too. This is exciting. What was the motivation, or what is the motivation?
It is. You know, it's very exciting. The motivation is to fully incorporate all the products that the formerly U.S. Grains Council was into our name, you know, the products we were promoting overseas. So for the last 20 years, we've been promoting DDG, developing markets for distillers grains. The last 10, 11 years, we've been doing ethanol. So you can say these products have been part of our identity and practice for the last 1 to 2 decades, but not in name. And so we really wanted to bring that into the portfolio and identify in name with, and that's where we came up with the Bioproducts Council.
All right. So the board members, they've got to be excited about this because it just is that much more representative of what you guys are doing.
They are very excited. You know, this was a 2-year process where we hired market research firms to do testing, and it really spoke about it in depth with our board to decide if we wanted to make a change and how that change would look. And then late last year, our board made a recommendation to our full membership to adopt the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council as our name. And then last Friday, our membership, our full membership, overwhelmingly voted to usher in this new name.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, Ryan, this the bioproducts part of what you do at U.S. Grains Council, that wasn't part of your, you know, quote unquote, original charter. You didn't have to go down this path, and you did to support that industry, right?
That's exactly right. It's all about maintaining relevance, staying up with the times. You know, 1960, we were founded as U.S. Feed Grains Council.
Yeah.
1998, we changed to the U.S. Grains Council, again, to stay up with the times and maintain relevance. And that's exactly what we're doing today.
All right. So, for those that don't know, because there are different groups out there, what is the primary role of the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council?
So we develop foreign markets for U.S. corn, barley, sorghum, distillers grains, and ethanol. We work on policy initiatives overseas with foreign governments. We work to build demand. And we work on trade servicing once that trade's actually happening, working to keep those markets open. So we work in a lot of different ways, but all in the name to promote and open markets, expand markets for the American farmer and agribusiness.
it's I've known a lot of people that have been involved in the grains councils over the years, it's not just relationship building, but relationship building is such an important part of what you guys are doing, isn't it?
It always has been. You know, being able to sit down face to face with regulators, policymakers, and industry, the ultimate consumers of our products, you know, that is a very big part of what we do. We've done that since 1960. We maintain that relationship building today.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Okay, so with the new name, is there going to be a new strategy going forward?
You know, I think we're going to be doing a lot of the same things that we've been doing over the last several years. You know, what I do think you'll see us getting more into are some of these new applications for ethanol, sustainable aviation fuel. We've really taken a deep dive into that, hiring experts. And then sustainable marine fuel is one that's not on a lot of people's radars, but it is popping up. And ethanol could be a great solution to fuel these ocean-going vessels that are carrying our goods around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, there's got to be a way to use the CO2, Ryan, that's coming out of the plants and make some fuel out of it, isn't there?
You know, I think so. You know, there's probably, I'm not a scientist, so I'm sure there's, you know, that some of those things are way above my head. Wish we would have got that pipeline in. Yes, we need to find ways to develop and find markets for that CO2.
Very good. Very good. Okay. There was also a press release out from your organization supporting the appointment of Luke Lundberg as USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs. What do we need to know about Luke?
He's going to be an excellent champion for U.S. agriculture. He has written papers and given presentations about market access, about knocking down barriers, and I think that's exactly what he's going to do. He's got the farmer at heart. He led the South Dakota Trade Association. He was with the America First Policy Institute. So just a great background there. We're very excited. I'm guessing he's in the chair this morning. Hopefully. I know he was. I think he was eager to get in there. Couldn't be more excited for Undersecretary Lindbergh coming in, who's a real, you know, advocate and will be out there on the road, traveling around the world, fighting for our interests.
Yeah. And right now, with all the trade uncertainty that's out there, Ryan, you guys have got to be working extra hard on those relationships to make sure that the existing relationships that are being challenged in some ways right now aren't damaged permanently, right?
Right. We are working hard. You know, we're staying real close to our customers in Canada and Mexico. But, you know, we're also looking at all these other delegations that are coming to town from dozens of countries to meet with the Trump administration, to negotiate with them. And we think that in the end, we're going to have a better deal for American agriculture. We're seeing more access come in some of these trade deals that have been announced. We're excited for it and ready to move forward and expand our exports.
Fantastic. Ryan, I've always appreciated what your organization does does some really, really important and needed work out there to support U.S. agriculture. And hats off to you, and congratulations on the name change. We'll be looking for big things, all right?
Thank you very much. We're ready for big things.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ryan. That is Ryan LeGrand, President and CEO of the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. Really appreciate you doing that. Davis,
yes,
we've got an old friend. I shouldn't say that he's old. He's not old, but we've got a guy that's been with us from the very beginning on this afternoon. Joe Baklevic, Standard Grain, here on AgriTalk.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on, from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle-ready. Meet your ally, AticusLLC.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer.
Join me every week on the Top Producer Podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer Podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Do you know how America became the best country on God's green earth? We made things, from automobiles to airplanes to textiles. We were the manufacturing epicenter of the world, the innovators that every other country turned to. I'm Katie Lyon, co-founder of Allegiance Flag Supply, and I'm here to tell you that the American spirit is alive and well at Allegiance, where we make American flags 100% in America. When you fly your American flag from Allegiance Flag Supply, you're not just honoring our country. You're supporting American men and women who proudly make the highest quality American flags, period. True patriots who put care into every stitch. See our full story at showallegiance.com and learn about our 100% American-based supply chain. Fly your flag from showallegiance.com with pride, because every flag says manufacturing is still alive and well in the U.S. and we are still the greatest country. Save $35 on your American flag set when you go to showallegiance.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Texas House lawmakers set to reconvene